crossover ideas. Last week, I said that we'll talk about ideas, and I believe in the people being part of the preaching, being part of the sermon, being part of worship. But before I reach out to you all, I want to tell you that we crossed over from Nigeria to this place. And my family journeyed 25 years ago to this great nation, crossing over the Jordan, crossing over the big seas. And it was just like Jesus crossing over to the other side. It was like the Israelites crossing over the Jordan to the other side, beyond the Jordan. We left our jobs, my husband and I, and we had good jobs. I was teaching in college. I was teaching in one of the best universities by God's grace. We left it. Why? Because we are believing that coming here will be better for us and for our kids. A place you did not know, but we moved by faith, believing that our decision would be good for us and for our children. And I want to stand here to tell you, except for the little, you know, settling down problems the first few years, the crossing over is worth it. I'm telling you. Even with Feso, the crossing over is worth it for him. And he reminded me of something. And he's been telling me, don't forget, don't forget. I mean, he would make signs for me, you know, to me. Even when I was doing the children's sermon, he was telling me, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. And that's that he belongs to a league. And they've had 3 games. And for the 3 games, they won 3 times. Their team, I mean, is just awesome. The first time, they had 3-0. This past Saturday, they had 5-1. Yesterday, their team won 7-0. And Feso wanted me to tell the church that he gave the last goal for the soccer. Crossing over the goal. That's what we are talking about this morning. Just like my family was on a journey to the other side, Memorial Presbyterian Church is on a journey to the other side to be 21st century compliant. And what are we looking at to be 21st century compliant? One, we have to have intergenerational worship. That's what 21st century is all about. We have to have young people here. We have to have little kids here. We have to have, I mean, just growing people. We have to have our church expanding. We have to be present in more. I know that we are doing a good job already. We have to expand being present in the community. We have to be user-friendly. People come in here and things are happening. People come into the sanctuary. I mean, there's music. There's this joyful noise going on around. That is what 21st century is all about. We have to engage more. We have to be a more loving and caring church, which I believe that we are doing a good job. And every single place I mention Memorial, this is the truth. Everybody is saying they are beautiful people there, everywhere. Anybody that has had contact with this church, tell me that. Everybody. And so The good thing is this, that we are already on that journey. And we have made lots of distances on that journey. In fact, we are almost getting there. Almost. And guaranteed, we will make it. We must cross over the Jordan. Now, let's look at what God told the Israelites on how to cross over Jordan. I read. God told the priests, when you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord as soon as their feet touch the water. The flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. Straightforward instruction. Therefore, before Memorial Presbyterian Church even tries to cross over the Jordan, I want us to note this. The Lord said, when you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into water, into the river, and stop. What we are doing today is to talk about how we can take the few steps into this obstacle called the Jordan River. The things that are stopping us from being 21st century compliant. And we have to do what God has told the Israelites to do. Take a few steps. Before we take this step, let's know that we have to cancel fear. Fear can cripple us. There are people, oh no, just take it. No, don't do, just, it's okay, you know. Let's allow fear to vanish, to vamoose. It will help us to boldly, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but spirit of boldness, of love, and of a sound mind. That's what God has given to us, not fear. We have to know that action is needed. Take a few steps. So you have to get off from your comfort zone and do something. We really have to. And God's presence must be there. The Lord said, the priests that carry the Ark of Covenant. Let me assure you here that you have a good session. I'm telling you. The last session that we had, that was on Tuesday, I told the session, I love that there is joy among us. I mean, there was so much jokes and joy that I had to say something. I said, I have been to other session meetings, and everybody is like, so sad and so unhappy. But you come to the session meeting of this church, people are joking and throwing, pen on each other and laughing so loud. What I told them is, laugh on. Keep laughing. Keep rejoicing. Keep joking. That makes session what it's supposed to be. And so the act, the presence, the leadership is there. All that we are asking, let's be sure that God's presence is with us individually and then as a group. The Ark of God's Covenant was a symbol of God's presence for the Israelis. Our symbol of God's presence, the Holy Spirit in us, makes us and assures us that God's presence is with us. And so the simple question is, are you led by the Spirit? Are you? For real? You wake up in the morning, does the Spirit of the Lord say, do this, don't do this, you know, just listen to me. Do you converse with the Lord? We need it to be able to cross over. We need faith. We need obedience. We need to be on the offensive. Let's not be on the defensive. Let's move with faith. That's what we need. And I am telling you that we can cross over, and soon too. If you don't believe with me, I know that a few other people believe with me, we can do it. Let's avoid junks. The reason the church is not progressing today is that the church stops, fills their bag and baggages with junks. Just spending countless hours arguing and talking about trash. Can we leave junks alone and concentrate on the things that will glorify God? It will help us. If you carry these bags to cross over Jordan, it will pull you down, and the water will swallow us, and God forbid it. Don't be discouraged. Last week we talked about people, different hearts, different orientations, different approaches to life. Let's not allow discouragers and gossips and all those people to discourage us, because we can make it. Love and peace will help our individual journeys, spiritual journeys, and the greatest to know about the Lord, you have to be prayerful, you have to study the Word. Do you study your Bible for real every day? If you don't, start today. You can't know God's mind without studying. I know you are so good reading other books. Could you please add the Bible as what you read every day of your life? That's the only manual that we have. We have to also be careful with sin. I know we don't talk about sin. Sin? No sin? Yes, I'll talk about sin, because the Bible talks about sin. Let not sin rule in your mortal bodies. Lay aside every sin and the weight that disturbs you, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Lay aside the sin. Don't ignore sin. Excitement will help. Like I told you about the session, if you are not excited getting your feet into the water, you may not be excited after you cross the Jordan. Let's start being excited about life. Life is good. You are alive, I am alive, we are healthy. At least we are still in existence. Let's be joyful. You wake up in the morning, if the enemy says be unhappy, say no, I'm not going to be unhappy, whatever it is. Whether it's from your child, or whether it's from your neighbor, or your job, or you have lost your job, be joyful that you are still here. God will never leave you or forsake you. Never. It's a promise. Now, we are talking about the idea is to cross the practical. For Memorial Presbyterian Church, we know what we now need. How do we now cross over? I have some ideas here. You can tell I have some, but I will listen to you. I do. I really do. Yeah, I have mine, but I want to listen to you now. How do you think we can cross over? How do you think we'll get young people in here? How do you think we get younger families in here? What do you think about being noticed in the community, being talked about in the community? How can the community, our neighbors, say, oh, have you been to Memorial Presbyterian Church? Yeah, you know, I was there. Oh, yeah, you know, when I went, they were doing this. How do we make that conversation to happen? I want suggestions from the pew. I told Temi to write down, if you don't mind, please. Any suggestions? Okay, thank you. Any?
Hours every other week or once a month or something, but
Thank you, Dave.
That would be healthy eating, so we're promoting that. We're helping people distribute their excess, because I've been taking stuff to work and giving it out, and there's lots of people that you see in the community that have all this extra. Well, that would give them something to do with it. So,
thank you.
I think we put on a pretty good Bible school every year, and I think we should leverage that. We invite the parents to bring their kids in, and then they walk away, and we don't communicate with them again until next VBS season. And I think it might be worthwhile. We surely have a list, an address, and maybe a phone number of the parents of those kids, and it might be worth it to make a special invitation. Probably a phone call would be the best thing to do, but like most people, I suspect, like I do, if I don't recognize a number, I don't answer the phone. But I think it would be worth a try on the phone and leave a message and just say, please call us back. You don't need to say what the message is. But maybe we could send a postcard out to them and just make a special invitation and make a special day of it. And we could have a special Sunday school for kids that come and that sort of thing. That brings in younger people and their kids. If we get them to come, we might find that they'll stay. So.
Thank you.
I've been thinking about, my brothers and sisters all have churches they go to, but I have several cousins, many who grew up in the church and they had drifted away. And as adults, they haven't attended. And some of them have children who hardly have ever been in a church. And I think many of us can start with our own families. I read a book one time about church growth, and they pointed out that many of the disciples were related to each of their brothers, and so people feel more comfortable going with people to church with people they know. One of the reasons why I came to this particular church was because I have several friends that go to church here, and I think a lot of people aren't comfortable stepping into a church where they don't know anyone. And so I want to challenge myself and all of us to think of close friends and family that don't have a church, that may have drifted away, and encourage them to come back, pray for them. And we have a perfect opportunity with the 26th of September. You know, it's a special event. Let's bring them. We're going to have a picnic, you know, and everyone's kind and loving and open. And I kind of started on my daughter. Reminded her several times, you know, you're more than welcome to come to church with us, you know, and here she is today. So maybe we can pray for people that we know that would feel comfortable coming in and sitting with us in the pew.
We've been talking about a journey and obstacles for several weeks. And I got to thinking about, well, maybe we should look back on where we've been and it will help us to get to where we're going. So with the help of the history book that Kenneth wrote about this church several years ago, I got to looking at how we got from point A to where we are today. In the mid-1830s, there were 138 residents in Dayton, a village that had just been called Dayton just prior to that. And 49 of those people got together with Reverend Carnahan, and they decided, let's start a church. Through faith, they built a church, and the church grew, and they built another church. And by the late 1890s, they needed another big church. So they raised $10,000 through faith and built this magnificent building. And it was opened in 1900. And did they have obstacles along the way? Well, certainly. Think about this church during the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. In the 1930s, during the Great Depression, things were really tough in Dayton as it were everywhere else. People were more concerned about how are we going to feed our family than how are we going to keep the lights on at Dayton Memorial Presbyterian Church. In 1935, the treasury balance was 64 cents, and we still owed the minister over $600 for the last 3 years. There were pandemics in the 20th century, just like we've experienced now. They've gone through a lot of things to get us here where we are today, and I think a lot of them would trade places with our obstacles with the ones that they were facing generations before. The population of Dayton has expanded more than tenfold since the 1830s. And I think if we reach out to these people and let them know that Memorial Presbyterian Church is Dayton's open church, we are welcoming to all people, no matter where you've been, what's happened to you in your past, whatever you've done, you are welcome and loved at Memorial Presbyterian Church. Whatever your nationality, whatever your language, whatever your race, the color of your skin, you are welcome and loved at Memorial Presbyterian Church. Whatever your sexual orientation or however you identify yourself, you are welcome and loved in Dayton. I think we should promote that, shout it from the rooftops, and welcome everybody into our church.
That was great, Dave. Thank you very much for that history.
I had two things, one short-term, one more long-term. Short-term, I was thinking about if we're able to have the smorgasbord this year, maybe preparing some kind of flyer to put on the tables or to hand people as they come in, because I believe there are a lot of people that come to that every year that are members of the church, but they're out here in the community. So we could tell things on it like VBS, our mission programs, like Kids Closet, the food pantry, just to show that, you know, what an active little church we actually are. The long-term one would be, once we start building the membership back up, I would hope maybe we could resume the task force with the other Presbyterian churches on the parish model, because I think that's going to become long-term survival for all of our churches. As the Presbytery representative from this church, the last 3 years, the quarterly meetings, there's never an announcement about a new church forming. Unfortunately, it's about small churches in some form, some process of closing down. There have recently been some new hires. People are having to go lay pastors like Rick Ryan was, or due to economics, looking for a part-time pastor option, which actually it's feasible, because there are actually people who would like to do that as well as hold another job. And just the economics, that's what the church can afford. But wherever it takes us, we would obviously let you all know what we're thinking about, and it would ultimately be a vote of the session and a congregational vote whether we were to do it. But the matter of sharing resources, our pastoral staff, interchange of programs, is going to be beneficial to all of us. So if we ever get that far down the road, I would just ask that you give it prayerful consideration. That's all I've got.
I was a member of the PNC committee when we were trying to find a minister, and I'll give a little background here on this, and Gladys has already heard this from me, but we were told one evening that we were going to have a candidate who was from Nigeria. So I thought to myself, this is probably the biggest waste of time I've put in a long time, but I'll go to the meeting anyway. So I go to the meeting, and we get an opportunity to meet Gladys, and apparently she thinks we're colorblind because the first thing she said, you might recognize that I am black. And then we had several more questions for her, and to tell you the truth, we don't know whether she ever answered them or not, but she was so enthused about coming here and being able to help us that we didn't really care whether she answered that question or not. We just saw the enthusiasm and love that she displays, and it just oozes from her. And we have a very unique situation here with this lady. We should cultivate it and tell everybody that you need to come and hear her love. Thank you.
Oh, good. We have two kids that are, one's 26 and one's 22. And when I think about growing the church, if you haven't noticed, young people are doing different things now than we did when we were young. And I don't know about you, but like not many kids are on Facebook. Okay, so we have a Facebook page, and that's good for like our generation. Facebook used to be for young people, and all the old people got on board and found classmates and stuff. So we have chased away all the young people off Facebook, but they're somewhere. Okay, and that's my point though, is we can't expect, well, we're just going to sit here and wait for people to come find us and everything. We need to go where people are. So if it means going to the university, like I know the Faith Church has a tremendous outreach this time of the year, getting international students moved in and just people helping them where they are, not like waiting for them to find us. And so that's what I'm thinking is, It's our job to glorify God, but you know, God sent his son out to work in the field. He sends the seeds that he puts fertilizer, if you know what I mean, on top of those seeds, and he keeps fertilizing and fertilizing until that seed grows. And so he needs us and expects us to go out and find everybody in the whole world, because when you think about it, we are all dying, whether it's spiritually or physically. Mm-hmm. So this is like my hospital. I go to the hospital once a week. I come to church, is why I'm here. You know, it's not a social club, even though we kind of like each other, which is great, but I'm here because I'm a sick person, I'm a sinner, and the church is a hospital. And so we need to let people know that, you know, everybody's got their problems. Everybody, you know, whether you're married, whether you're not married, whether you have children, whether you don't have children, whether you've got whatever going on in your life, the church is a hospital for people who are sick, and we're all sick. Mm-hmm. And so that I really take to heart, because I don't think of the church as a social club, and therefore it's good when we have things that go on, but our reason is to like bring people to God and his son Jesus, and how we can see each other when we're not here anymore. Amen. So that's where I'm thinking about young people, old people, you know, we need to go out and be where the people are to share with them what we have here, because we are here for ourselves, but we're here for the whole world. And so, like, if there's young people, where are they? They're somewhere. and so we need to go find them.
Thank you.
Drag them in here. And no, I'm just kidding. But that's what I'm thinking about, is not waiting for people to come find us.
As I was listening, I was thinking, we need to do all of these things, but we need to remember that it can't just be a one-off. Mm-hmm. And we may get discouraged. We may not have the response that we want the first time, the second time, the third time. But we got to keep trying. It took 40 years for the Israelites to get across. Mm-hmm. We're on our way. We got to stay on our way. We got to keep our enthusiasm up. We got to keep encouraging each other to keep our enthusiasm up. Because it's going to be work. It's going to be work. But we can do it. It's been done before. There's a host of people that were here in this church that are counting on us.
Just closing all the thoughts together for a minute. As a farmer's daughter, I heard a theme. And I don't know if many of you caught on to that. Cultivation. Fertilization. Sowing. Growing. And before any of that can start, we need to make the soil ready for all of that. Mm-hmm. And where does that start? That starts with prayer. If you are a walker, I encourage you, and you live in the area, I encourage you to start praying up and down these streets. If you live close to campus, I encourage you to find a perimeter where you can drive and then have someone drive you as you pray for the campus. Some of you know, like I do, where Gladys lives. Let's surround her in prayer, even when she's not looking. Let's start this whole thing by activity in prayer, and let's open up the soil so that it can accept the seeds.
The youth group we talked about, somebody talked about with youth groups. We need kids here, but until we get kids, or when we even have an option, we should do youth groups, and we do some of that with the other churches. But just when we're going to have a youth group idea to go out into our suburbans here and invite them for just maybe a special night. VBS songs. For many years, when I was on session, I tried to get Bible school songs to be played here during worship. One song per service would be wonderful. We already have invested in the music. It's not just silly sing songs. There's hymns, How Great Thou Art, all kinds of different songs in different ways that will appeal to young people. I don't like music that sounds like a funeral dirge, and I know they don't either. The prayer list. We don't live in Dayton, and Dayton's a close community. So many times, we don't know what's going on the prayer list, and we keep our prayer list up to date, but when I look at it and I want to pray for the people, if it's not personal, confidential stuff that they don't want you to know, I kind of like to know what I'm praying for. And after a while, if they don't still need to be on there, we move on. But I just, as an outside community member, I would appreciate that. Another thing, Steve and I get to visit different churches in the winter. And one of the churches we attend most regularly down in Port Richey is Gulf View Grace. It was started by the man who owns our RV park. And he's an extremely dedicated Christian, and he gave the land and brought the minister and everything so many years ago. We sat in on one of their meetings, and what they do on their shut-ins or people who are sick or just people who all of a sudden aren't coming to church. They have a spreadsheet on visitation, and it's got a call and you check it or you initial it, or if you sent a card or if you went to visit that person. That way, this person's not getting 20 cards and this person isn't getting anything. And even if we could make sure that we always include people we haven't seen for a few weeks. We need a screen up here and a screen back there. This looks archaic. Every church, even the little tiny church in Battleground, I did their Bible school one evening. They had the screens, and if you guys know from Bible school, when the kids are up here singing the songs, they're like this, trying to look at the screen and the words because they can't learn the words and the motions in 4 days of singing those songs. This whole world screwed up, as you all know. The chaos of this world and the politics and everything that's so ugly, obviously Satan has a foothold, and we can't let that kind of stuff break up our church. And it does. Prayer group. We could have all kinds of prayer groups to help this community. It even says in the Bible, we go through trials so we can help others go through the same trials. The spirituality workshop that Gladys is offering, that is huge. She's certified in this whole spiritual workshop to invite people to that. After their $30, they do the little survey. It is such a wealth of growth for, I mean, that's a place where I've invited my friends already.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I don't even know what to say, and please excuse that we're adding a few minutes, but I think it's worth it. You know, for me, just all that you have said, and then if we can recognize groups, like very soon we're going to recognize the Golden Girls, that they make it big, make it huge. Bring people, let all the Golden Girls be here. Let them bring their families. Let them sing with joy. Let there be some body movements. It will attract them to be back. Let's recognize organizations. You already recognize Boy Scouts. And let's recognize the firefighters. I know you did it in the past. Let's do it again. Let's invite them. Let's just sponsor whatever. Cookies, it won't cost us anything. We can do that again. Family activities. Sometimes let your family come and give Thanksgiving. You know, I'm thankful that my child has graduated from college. And you invite your friends. And we just take some cookies and drink. When you invite friends and relatives, it's likely they will come back. Even if it's for nothing, the fact that they are hearing a different accent, and maybe the first Sunday they didn't understand her, they may say, let me come back and see if I will get it. It's a way to also, non-members can use our facilities. It was yesterday that Mary sent me a text and said, a neighbor across the road, was it yesterday, yeah? A neighbor across the road, you know, was asking permission to use our compound for people to park their cars. And I had to say, okay, I hope it's okay with you. I said, sure, why not? Let's allow non-members to use whatever they can use. Maybe it will attract them to come. We can have parent day out or night out. Just two or three people. We announce it, put it on our bulletin or wherever. Just once a month or once in 2 months or once in 3 months. Let parents go and relax. Bring your little kids. We will babysit them for a couple of hours. That helps a lot. Outdoor programs and activities, picnics and games. Maybe once in a quarter. We just have, just casual. We start making noise around, just the members. It will attract other people where you bring out your lunches and maybe your blankets and casual wear, and we are just talking outside. Let them see us. Notice that after the church, everybody trickles into their car. Vroom. No standing around. Can we make it once a long time for everybody to go out? We get off maybe 30 minutes earlier or 15 minutes earlier. We just go outside. Just talk. Make noise. Hey, how are you? How was the week? And then you get into your car and leave. We are advertising ourselves. We can have community meals. I know we are little. We may not be able to feed everybody, but once in a while, once a year, we just feed. We say food is free. Maybe lunch, maybe dinner, maybe breakfast. And everybody comes in to eat. You ask the members to bring food. We just bring food. I'll bring Nigerian food. And people will test it. Just anything that will help lively worship. Let there be technology in this place, please. It's not negotiable. It's even overdue. We are still in the 20th century in this church, for real. We are still doing all paper stuff. Let people come in and see stuff that is happening. Even if we are not doing anything and there is something, movement going around, it will help. Senior sense. We have so many of us in nursing homes. How do we reach them? Can we have Senior Sense Day? Maybe once a month, gather them. If you have a car, you volunteer, go pick them from their nursing home. They are tired of being in an enclosed place all the time. We bring them in, even if it's music or testimony or just anything. We give them little food, lunch. We take them back to their nursing homes. And we give them this big name, Senior Saints. And maybe once in a year, we have Senior Saints Day. Just anything that will help. Because of time, I'm going to stop. We can, have neighboring activities with this elementary school here. I just told Mary, I really need to go see the principal. I really need to. Let her know me. I'm sure that somebody must have told her that there's this, pastor up there. I need to see her or him, and he or she needs to see me. That's what we'll do. Partner with them, see how we can help them. And thank you for all the suggestions that you have given. Tippecanoe County, Presbytery of Wabash Valley, PCUSA, they are all watching the community. They are our neighbors. They are watching to see how we cross over the Jordan. Amen.